From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front,
too. Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome, everybody. It's December 5th. Christmas right around the corner. Welcome to Beers with the Brewers. I'm Mark Walt Keys. What's up?
Hey, how are we doing?
Walt Keys.
Dan Schaefer.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Adam Benner.
Hello.
What's going on?
Fresh off of buying a bunch of deals from the holiday weekend.
Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Yeah. Watching that Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah, I'll tell you someone who didn't get a pretty good deal for Thanksgiving.
Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah. He got a bad deal.
He doesn't want to deal with your insults there, yeah. Walt.
He doesn't want to answer your questions.
He doesn't have to respond to them.
I don't have to answer your insults.
Feeling pretty good here in Columbus, Ohio, though.
Yeah. What are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to be talking about two beers. We got a double episode. The one currently in our hands, La Superiora Mole Porter, cocoa, chili, cinnamon, and coffee. And then later in the episode, Batch 300 Imperial IPA. It's juicy, tropical, grapefruity, and piney.
Mm-hmm. I would add a hajir. It's very dank.
How dank?
So dank.
Cool. So, Dan, I think, you know, we've done an episode on Batch 300 before, but we have not done an episode of La Superiora. And Knowing what a great chef you are on tacos and chili, is it mole on mole?
I think I mentioned the fake mole tacos before, which is...
I think you did, yeah.
Actually just made recently. Yeah, just get yourself a disc of that Mexican chocolate and go, I don't know, 50-50... with some chilies and a spice grinder. There you go. Nice little dry rub. Yeah, and I was wondering, is mole chili?
It's pretty darn close to it. It's got to be at least the Mexican equivalent of chili.
And traditionally served with turkey. So if you still have some leftovers, there you go.
Well, according to the FDA, you should have been through all of your turkey by, I think it was Monday.
Unless frozen. If it's frozen, you're safe.
But having been to the store this past weekend, there is a metric ton of turkeys still out there.
Oh.
So
if you can make it fresh.
Want to get it on the cheap.
Get a deal on that. Frozen turkey. Make yourself another turkey dinner.
Why don't we next week have a mole chili cook-off? This beer would go great in a chili.
You want to do a mole chicken? Mole? Jesus Christ.
That's easy for me to
mole,
say.
Mole chili cook-off?
I think so. Might as well. I want to eat lunch next Wednesday. Yeah,
mole is like hard to make.
Yes,
that's why you need a
fake mole.
Yeah, but you could just have this in the chili, and it could be the mole porter chili. It doesn't have to be all mole, or it could.
Okay.
Yeah. Having done research for this recipe, most of the traditional methods of making it require 3 days and upwards of 30 ingredients. So
yeah.
Okay, so it's not going to be traditional.
There's a lot of mole in Mexico, which I've learned in my research on this beer. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe there's like 7 or 8 different types of like recognized moles.
Hmm.
But
like a Texas chili and a Cincinnati chili and a
kinda, yeah. So yeah, maybe mole is chili. I mean, it's different everywhere.
I know there's a red and a black, and that's about as far as my knowledge of it goes.
Rojo.
I think the traditional mole, what I think most people consider mole is mole poblano, and then mole negro, the black chili, black mole.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. They all sounded really good to me. So
fun mole facts.
Might have to go visit Mexico.
Well, other than mole, what else do we have going around here, Walt?
Got a big game this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Rolling on.
Big Ten Championship.
Rolling on to Indy. Wisconsin wants a little more from the Buckeyes. So that game is 8 p.m. on Saturday. Get down here. Get your spot. And if you don't feel like watching it out, you should. But if you don't, you should come down here and pick up a case of Skull Session Tall Boys.
Get that case deal.
We had a deal going.
Wait, I thought Skull Session was only available at the stadium this year.
It was, but now it's available at the tap room too. A limited amount of tall
Very
boy cans.
Limited.
And because we've beaten that team up north 8 times in a row, you can take $8 off a case. Whoa. $48 for a case of tall boys. And a free pint glass.
Free pint glass.
Wow.
We're just, look at that. Just giving it away.
Look at that.
Giving it away. Just deals, deals, deals. So, yeah, we'll have the game on, obviously, with audio. That deal is going to go through at least the game Saturday.
While supplies
and
last.
And if we've got any left, we'll see. We might let you load up for the playoff, too. The 10th, which would be next Tuesday, coming up quick. We've got our Jenny's Holiday Pairing. The pairings have been picked.
I almost missed it.
Yeah, sucks to be us, but when Jenny shows up with 8 pints of ice cream and says, which beer do you want to drink with these?
Yeah.
It's not a bad meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They all look like winners, but we won't reveal them just yet. So tickets available now at landgrantbrewing.com. Just hit the store section and then they're in there. We've got 3 seatings, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. on Tuesday the 10th. But if you get that 4 o'clock seating, you save 10%.
No, that's
it's
good.
It's a little bit cheaper. It's a little bit
another
earlier.
Deal. I mean, we just got but deals just left and right deal. Here at the brewery.
Because this is the traditional weekend for deals, right? The weekend after Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're on it there.
Well, there's some good pairings that I can attest to. They're
showing some real admirable restraint about our deals too. Usually people yell about those things. We just try to, you know, just give people the information in a very calm voice.
Yeah. And then our signature holiday event, the Holiday Enchantment, is going down Saturday the 14th.
That's next week.
That is a week from Saturday. That is coming up quick. Hopefully, Captain Beardcrumbs is getting his mind right for that. He'll be there. Santa Claus will be there. We've got live holiday music. We've got some vendors. I think the Short North Trolley is going to be cruising around. All kinds of holiday stuff. Crafts for the kiddos. Beer, of course. Ray Ray's, of course.
What if you're an adult? Can you do crafts too?
You can, yes.
Okay.
I apologize in advance for my children. It's
yes, you can craft as an adult as long as you don't gloat over the children that your craft is better or worse than theirs.
What if it's just data? Well, it's not gloating.
Yeah, that's not the holiday spirit, Mark.
Should be better.
Is there going to be any kids. Reindeer here?
No, but funny you should ask. There will be an alpaca here. I'm dead serious.
Okay.
We've got an alpaca coming for the holiday
season. Is it going to be wearing reindeer antlers?
Yeah, we'll make it wear something festive. I know Kayla is working on an enclosure for the alpaca, but...
will you be able to ride this?
I don't think alpacas are rideable.
Can he saddle this thing up?
He's got a name. He's got a funny name. I know. Bert or something. He's got a
funny name. I was thinking Bert.
He's got a funny alpaca name. That's so weird.
Bert the alpaca. No, that's cool. Where'd we get this alpaca?
I think we just found it in the neighborhood. No, it's
wandering.
I believe it's one of our regulars.
Free range.
Oh, no, it's one of Jordan's friends from his previous job. She has an alpaca farm, so she's going to bring old Bert or Harold or whatever his name is down.
Merle.
Cool.
Merle. Bert. I don't know. Yeah, so we'll have an alpaca. Maybe we can rig them up with a Rudolph nose or something. They love that.
Alpacas are known for their...
They're pretty docile, I think.
Their costumes.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a hoot for sure. It's and I guess I should mention there's a Santa Speedo run happening directly before that. So if you're into a bunch of people dressed up like Santa Claus wearing Speedos, they'll be here too. Forecast calls for snow as of right now.
All right, so let's talk here about this new beer, the La Superiora Mole Porter. Daniel.
Yeah, the name refers to the nuns that originally created the recipe for mole in Puebla in the 17th century.
It was a long time
ago.
Somewhat disputed story, but that seems to be the legend of record.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Superiora, referring to the mother or sister Superior that I heard created the recipe.
Yeah.
and also to the superior ingredients that went into this beer. Hey, so,
Yeah, the name, the word mole translates to like a mixture combination in the sort of proto-Spanish they were speaking at the time. It wasn't like Spanish, but it was whatever the regional dialect of whatever language.
So whatever Spanglish was back then. All right.
So I clearly halfway did the research.
So the this was a pilot batch last year that went over fairly well, and we wanted to step up big system. So mostly the same. The base is just a sort of robust porter. 6.1% ABV, 26 IBUs. Try to keep it down since spices tend to lend a bitterness of their own. Didn't want to have it too bitter with the hops. So ingredient-wise, I wanted to pay homage to the long, drawn-out process that is making an actual mole. And so we used Grand Guayacan Dutched cocoa powder. What does all that mean? Well, it's an Ecuadorian single bean varietal cocoa powder. Dutched means it's alkalized. By doing that, it deepens the color, but also pH drops in dark beers. It can tend to get acrid and kind of ashy and unpleasant. So by doing that, we keep it from getting bitter. And it also just sort of brings out the flavor of the cocoa. Chili-wise, we went with the, what is the holy trinity of moles, anchos, and pasillas, I think most people are familiar with. I was not familiar with mulattoes before this, but it's kind of a darker, fruit, spicier version of an ancho. And very non-traditionally, got some nice Saigon cinnamon from Frontier Organics. I'm sure they would use the... What's the cinnamon-ish stuff?
Like a...
starts with a C.
Yeah.
It's like canela, something like that. But anyway, yeah, we went for the real deal. Just get like a greater depth of flavor. And actually, we... we're not happy with the both heat and chili presence with this, so this has been double dry chilled.
So after the just what was in the original recipe, you added basically you dry hopped it once and then dry hopped it again.
It's been
the most dry hot dry chili as you
dry
said.
Chili dry hop. Said, yeah,
it we actually doubled up the amount of chili from last year. A lot of those were. Just someone gave us those from their backyard, and there was quite a few habaneros in there. So there's a lot of heat, but we wanted more chili flavor. Mm-hmm. So this nicely sort of balances. You get a lot of those dark fruit flavors from the chili, a lot of raisin and cherry, plum type of deal. But just get that nice little tickle at the back of your throat. It's not going to blow your head off.
No, yeah, it's not definitely not like overly spicy or anything.
If it was me, I would have gone hotter, but I'm a heat head like that, so.
Very approachable, though. Nice chocolate.
Oh, it's like got that. It's a really, like, rich and nice beer for the holidays.
Yeah, you get a little bit of that cinnamon linger at the finish that's kind of nice, but not too much, because I think you can really overdo cinnamon in beer, and I think this is just enough.
We did half of what we did the pilot last year, so I remember that was very very close to sort of cinnamon toast.
A little bit of cinnamon goes a long way in a Christmas beer.
Spice, you got to be really careful.
Yeah, I think
if you're dosing right,
if you like the spice beer but you're kind of looking for something outside of that standard Christmas ale, this is a great alternative. That heat, it's not too much, that if you're averse to spicy, as in heat spicy, you're gonna just kind of reminds you that it's there. It's not any overwhelming at all. It doesn't overwhelm the taste or flavor, but really good balance with those chilies. So
yeah, slick packaging too, Walt, with the chilies in the shape of a Christmas tree.
Right. Yeah. That was coming out right before Christmas. So just with the flavor profile and it being sort of a festive, you know, dessert beer almost, I thought it only made sense to sort of lean into the holiday spirit of it, especially. Mole is traditionally a dish served at celebrations and specifically at Christmas. So,
are you going to have mole at your Christmas table?
I wish. We're just making turkey again, which I was objecting to at our Thanksgiving dinner.
No roast beast?
No.
I don't know where you get one. I desperately would like to do a goose sometime.
Yeah. We did like a really fancy Italian meal last year. At some point. I can only do the. I think I can only really do the turkey dinner once a year anymore.
If you get that Ray Ray's turkey, you could do it every week.
No.
It's so good.
That's a different beast, though.
That's a different one, man.
I think I've recommended you doing roast beast. Well, I was watching The Grinch last night. Yeah. Actually, it was on NBC.
All right.
So,
you gotta find. Is that the Jim Carrey version you were watching?
No, I was watching the OG cartoon.
Yeah.
So speaking of watching, look at this is a terrible transition. It's Great Haze. If you've watched this beer.
Speaking of watching
the
a beer.
The appearance of this beer. It's almost, and even swirling, it almost is milky with all of the spices and whatnot.
It's causing. It looks like Yoo-hoo. Yeah. Unfortunately, the centrifuge was down when we were transferring this beer. So, yeah, when you're done, you do get a little syrup in the bottom of your glass, but it does not affect the flavor whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, a lot of that... even used a fine micron filter, and that cocoa powder just does not come out.
It gets through.
Yeah.
All natural flavors, sometimes you have that, as opposed to natural flavors.
Yeah.
And actual ingredients, I should say.
Wait, this was the one thing that was majorly different from the pilot batch last year, was we used a chocolate syrup product that proved to be prohibitively expensive at a larger level. Very happy with the cocoa powder and would love to do that in the future. Just sort of have to figure out how to handle it slightly differently in the future.
Yeah, the flavor's right on and unoffensive to me in any way because, it's all the good stuff that you put in the beer still in the beer.
There's not many people clamoring for a crystal clear dark beer, but,
I did actually see someone launch a hazy black IPA, which was hilarious.
I love that. It's the best bit of the day right there.
So we can tell by looking at it, but it looks like everyone's pretty much done with their glass. So there's a question for everyone.
How crushable is it?
That could go too. I think because it's kind of a dessert beer, I'd probably want to switch up to a Moonracer.
Yeah, I don't think it's an all-day drink or anything like that, but it's pretty rich and like complex flavor. But it's certainly not hard to drink.
No, it's not. It is pretty strong or anything like that.
So I'd say two, just based on the flavors. But certainly, isn't going to put you on your butt.
How about you, Dan?
I'm going to go three. I desperately wanted one of these on Thanksgiving. It's particularly if you're plowing through rich food like that. Yeah, this would have been really nice to have around. Unfortunately, we didn't package it until the day after Thanksgiving. So,
I think the benefit is it. A lot of times when you see these spicier porters and these styles, they're 8-9%. They're a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. So this is coming in at 6.1%. So you can't have that third one. Yeah. But I'm going to go down to the two as well. So
it's like dessert. You might be able to eat a lot of dessert, but it doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah.
2.25 it is this week on La Superiora Mole Porter. Available in stores now. Very limited supply, so if you see it out, snag it. And, of course, always down here at the Land Grant Tap Room releasing it today.
Yeah, out now.
All right, well, next up we have an old favorite here at the brewery. Definitely not our 300th batch, but making a return. Batch 300 Imperial IPA.
Mm-hmm.
It was our 300th batch. We did a big IPA for that, and we kept getting asked for that beer to come back. So this is probably the fourth time maybe we've brewed it. I don't know.
I think that's right.
That sounds right.
So that's a special time when that comes out. Classic style Imperial. I guess there would be a West Coast style Imperial IPA, would you say?
That's fair.
It's not as, though we have juicy in the descriptor, it's not designed to be that double dry hopped New England style.
Right.
But uses some fun, different ingredients, I'd say, than the West Coast hops. Dan, you want to?
Yeah, so it's.
Refresher.
8% ABV, 69 IBUs. Ish. As we normally like to do for our doubles, we did Pils malt as a base for this and a little bit of dextrose to dry it out. We did Warrior, first wort hops, which is always great. You throw it in the kettle as you're running off. It just makes the whole place smell amazing. And then it was a 2-2-1 Maltueca, Citra, and Mosaic. And I still think this is the most hops that we put per barrel in any beer. Maltueca is it's a bit, I would say, like a generic citrus, but also it's quite grassy. And it sort of plays into the grassiness that you get from a Pils malt. And then Citra Mosaic is classic combo, lychee, you know, mango, blah, 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 pineapple. But yeah, we always look forward to when this comes back. It's a brewer favorite.
I think I remember someone talking about Maltueca and it showing through in that beer, that sweet onion, kind of that Hawaiian sweet onion flavor that you can get at times. So, but not a bad onion.
No, I think it's nice that it's there is a little bit of that savory character to this that keeps it from getting like overly sweet. Mm-hmm. I love hazies and so-called juicy beers as much as anybody, but they can, it's hard to drink more than one because they are so overtly sweet.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to have that balancing sort of dank bitterness that you get from a West Coast IPA.
Oh, yeah. When Hodge came through earlier, he had this to say.
So dank.
Okay.
What batch are we on now? So this was batch 300 originally, but
I'll tell you what batch this was.
We are approaching 800.
800.
I don't see it on my canning log. Did we can this beer?
We did.
Yep.
Canning log was not entered for it. Oh, there it is. This was batch 749.
Batch 749.
Exactly 449. Batches later.
It's good math, Walt. Good. You've been on it lately.
it got me earlier today on that 8 years in a row, how much that discount off that case was.
Yeah.
So the question on everyone's mind, we know Hajir weighed in on the dankness on this beer, but how crushable is old batch 300? Comes in at 8%.
I could still go 3 crusher. I know when we did batch 300 the first time, I said I would exclusively drink this beer until it was gone. That was a big mistake. Don't try that at home. Don't try that at work. You should probably just have two. I would say you should just have two of these.
That's probably,
respect the alcohol.
I'm
going to
stick with 3, but that's, yeah.
I'm going to go 3, in particular with the... We did, the one change to this was we fermented with our, what is quickly becoming our house, Gveik yeast, and which you can rock out at 95 degrees Fahrenheit and not get any fuel cells. So there's no real hot alcohol flavor to this,
even though there's
a ton of booze in there. So I think that really adds to the dangerous drinkability of this beer.
It's sneakable.
It is very sneakable.
Yeah, I think I could do 3. I think I'd go 3 as well, but I'm definitely, that's like if I'm watching the Big Ten championship at home, that's a 3.
I've got an Uber, right? I'm safe. Not having to operate heavy machinery. I'll bring mine up. Perfect 3 this week.
Perfect 3.
Hey guys, I just got a breaking news update from sometimes guest Kayla.
What?
The alpaca's name is Ernie.
Ernie, yes. Yeah, you're close with Bert.
I was pretty close with Bert.
Alpaca. I see where you got that confused.
Alpaca. Well, looking forward to meeting old Ern. I'm totally going to call him Big Ern. Around our spot. And hopefully he has reindeer antlers or something.
Yeah.
Shiny nose.
Yeah. Hey, well, Mark.
Hey, question from a listener this week. Walt's pretty excited.
Bring anything to us?
Postman brought this. Now, Dan hasn't seen this. We've received some really cool questions from a listeners in different formats. Well, somebody out there is up in their game, and his name is Zach. with only a first name.
Now, is this Zach with a C, C-H-C-K?
This is a C-H, and Zach, I'll tell you.
I think it's pronounced Zach.
We love you for this.
Yeah.
And hit us at Cheers at Land Grant, and click through our website.
I'm guessing he's going to know who.
Send us an email. Identify yourself, because we're giving you some praise this week. We've got a National Parks postcard.
Yeah, WPA art on there. Works Parks Administration.
Now, the only thing I will say, he sent it from Columbus Post Office. You can't see the last two digits, though, on the postmark stamp. So he collected this somewhere while on vacation, and he says in the PS that the missus and he have made it to four national parks, and his bucket list travel goal is to see them all.
Did he tell us which four? I mean, we got Glacier.
I assume they've been a glacier. Yeah. It's a Glacier National Park postcard.
We're having to assume Glacier.
Didn't tell us where else.
It's a slick postcard. That'd be a nice poster for your
wall. What's the one in Cleveland?
That's the Cuyahoga Valley, National Park.
Yeah, I've been there.
Top of everyone's list.
You can get on a train. You can take your bike on a train, ride down a peninsula.
Yeah.
See our maiden at Blossom.
Go to the original
hit the Winking Lizard while you're in town.
That's ride the towpath. On your bike?
Have you guys been to any national parks?
I was in Zion this past couple months ago.
That's right.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Went to the Narrows. Did not have the stones to go up to Angel's Landing. It's a very narrow path up high.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's it. Other than the aforementioned Cuyahoga Valley National Park.
Yeah.
You guys?
The Badlands considered a national park area.
I think so.
Yeah,
I'd have to see the list on whether or not a lot of those were national.
Muirwoods is not, but it's pretty cool though.
The redwoods up north are.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Zach's question is he's got two questions actually, and I think we'll allow that with the postcard. You send a postcard, you can ask as many questions as you want. Will we ever see a special bottled LG offering?
We have to go to South Korea for that one.
Spoiler alert.
You know, you may say that, right here. But there's been a collaboration with another brewery that I think Dan would probably be ready to talk about a little bit, just as podcast listeners, on how that was tasting, Dan, when you guys went over last.
Oh, just as a teaser, it was... Tart. It might have been sitting in barrels for, was it now, 8 months. And
at a specific brewery that maybe specializes in
tart beers? At a brewery that might not have their own brew house, but that might have a bunch of barrel racks with barrels in them. You could say that these people are uppity, even.
A little pretentious over there, are they?
You could say that.
Yeah.
You could say that.
Hopefully they wouldn't be offended by you calling them that.
They named the brewery that, so I doubt they are.
Yeah. Well, given their beer names, you'd have to come up with something like a bit more high-end. You couldn't just say they're pretentious or uppity. It would have to be something with, at least four syllables in it.
I would think so. So last year's Beard Crumbs took over to Pretentious. They brought their tote, filled it up.
if you couldn't. Crack our code. Mark's going to lay it out for you.
Yeah, this is for the podcast.
I thought I was being incredibly clever.
They're going to know
if that comes across or not. Only only slightly altered from the base recipe, we had to knock down the IBUs so that it would sour more quickly. But apart from that, just plain old beardy. And yeah, they brought over their stainless steel totes, took them over there and pumped them into barrels. A number of different ones. There was some bourbon, I think they did both red and white wine, and we've have multiple variants coming out.
It's pretty exciting.
It is. As of I think last week, Josh picked up the fruit and the beer was in stainless, so it is probably being fruited as we speak.
Exciting.
Slash, there's some cool spice variant that I'm very excited about.
Sweet. Well, it's going to be a fun collaboration. So there you go, Zach. There's your special bottled LG offering, hopefully coming soon.
Second question.
What tips do you have to aid some of the annual Beer Crumbs haul? Well, basically, Zach, you just take it over to Pretentious and let them age it for you.
I would say, in general, don't. I don't know. I've not tried a year-old Beardy. Is anyone?
Hajir grabbed me a can. Hajir was drinking it, and he found some in the back of the cooler and said it was great. He gave me a can. I haven't opened it yet. It's in my fridge. So
I think last year's held up better.
Yeah, because of the fruit. It doesn't age incredibly well in the sort of middle stretch, but I've never tried it after I get through that sort of rough patch from, you know, after 4 to 6 months. That'd be really interesting to see what year-old Beardy. I've never tried it myself. They usually just slam.
Well, the week ain't over.
Yeah. A friend of the brewery, Steve, always keeps a six-pack or two of each variant and does a vertical every year. So it might be in here. So if you see him, he's a
I'm very curious about
ginger.
That.
Yeah. Doesn't age as well as Deep Search. Deep Search is probably the one.
After he's 6 months, Deep Search is just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
We love the postcard, and we'd love to give you a T-shirt. Love to give you a T-shirt.
Whatever that is.
Stop on down.
Yeah. Drop us an email. Or send another postcard with your email address on it. We'll email you back.
Or your address. We'll send you a postcard.
Yeah.
We have them. So there you go. So, hey, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. What do we got next week? We got another episode coming out, middle of December.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Pastuzo Pale Ale.
Pastuzo.
Who's that?
Oh, he's a dead bear.
Well, spoiler alert, not everyone knows Mark.
Oh,
Paddington.
Yeah.
It's his uncle.
Anyway, Pastuzo Orange Marmalade Pale Ale. Sounds great.
Well, right on.
If you're going to be down here for the Big Ten Championship at 424 West Town Street, pick up some of that delicious Ray Ray's barbecue. Make sure to get some because they're going to close at 8. Game kicks off at 8, so get some before kickoff. Tip your bartenders. Go Bucks.
Cheers. So dank.